This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that I can access?
That'll
literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tanya Ransom, creator and executive producer of Nightlight, a horror podcast featuring creepy tales written by Black writers from all over the world. And today I'm here with Victoria Hutchinson, author of Bloodlust. How are you today, Victoria?
Hi, I'm okay.
Well, good. Well, I want you to be good. How can we get you to good?
I don't know. It's all right. I'm just a little tired.
Yeah, well, I feel you on that for sure. I think everybody, like, to some degree is, like, just tired lately. Like, you know, as we're recording this, we're coming up on a year in quarantine. It'll be next week, I think it'll be the 1 year anniversary of the lockdown. And I think everybody's just kind of over it. You know, like, we're all just exhausted, and, you know, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We've got to remember that. And, you know, keep making good choices and we will get there. So I'm curious, Victoria, how you came up with the premise for this story.
I always think back to like when I was in college, like my last year, I was in this writing class and I wanted to write about a younger character who was like kind of just off. Very off, because she didn't care for, I guess, violence didn't faze her, and the teacher was like kind of trying to like push me to like figure out why, and I couldn't come up with anything, so she was like, write something else, because, you know, this character kind of just evolved in my mind for a while and I didn't know where to put her, so that's how I kind of got there.
So what was your intention with this story?
I usually don't write like anything horror, even though I do like the genre. And I was part of a little writing circle for a little bit. And we were like trying to get each other to write horror together. And I was trying to branch out and try to do something that I like. Yeah.
Yeah. So you just wanted to like branch out and do something, like challenge yourself as a writer?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. What do you normally write?
Usually, like, I write for fun. It's like fluffy, light, kind of like slice of life type of thing.
Really? Wow. I would not have guessed that based on the story at all. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Because the story, like, it's really dark, you know? I feel, at least for me, you know, I mean, you're the writer, you tell me if I'm wrong, but, you know, as I'm reading it, I'm thinking that, you know, this is very much someone who is in a very dark place and wants to feel something. And if she can't feel something, she just wants it to be over with. And, you know, she can't find this sweet release of death because she can't get hurt, you know. And I just feel like, you know, the emotional exploration of that, of being, you know, so tired and done, you know, and being in such a dark place, that to feel pain is better than feeling nothing. And to die is better than living. You know, at least for me, like that was what was really compelling about this story was the character herself. And, you know, I don't know if that was your intention with this story, especially, you know, considering that you typically write slice of life type stories, but that's what I got from this story. And I'm curious if, you know, if that's what you intended to convey.
I think in a way, yeah, because I wanted to like have a darkness about it that was like kind of unsettling because mm-hmm. the character's kind of, from the little description I did give, it was like, she looks like somebody who's kind of bright because her hair is pink.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when I write, I'm just like, oh, this sounds good. Like, I don't go super symbolistic. Like, when I think about it, it's not like, oh, I have to put this here for that symbolism.
Right.
And it just kind of comes out. Because then sometimes I'll go back to read something and I'm like, dang, like, what was I doing?
Right. I think most writers do that, you know, like we write something and we're like sometimes you just don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious though, if, you know, you write more slice of life type stuff, but this is like incredibly dark and it feels quite intimate to me. And I'm wondering if you tend to gravitate more toward, you know, someone who's very optimistic or if you tend to be someone who's more pessimistic.
Yeah, me and myself, I try not to be pessimistic, but it's hard.
Oh yeah.
Wired that way.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I usually write like fluffy stuff, because I'm like, when I want something that I can look back on and be like, oh, this is so cute, and I lift my spirits.
You know, I find that really interesting. You know, horror writers in general tend to write darker things to kind of, you know, for lack of a better metaphor, we'll use a cliche here, to release their demons. And, you know, that's why I write horror, is, you know, it helps me cope with and understand some of the more difficult emotions that I have and release them so that, you know, they don't consume me, so that, you know, I can be more optimistic and happier. But then there are writers like you who, you know, that it doesn't necessarily work that way for them at all. They need to write the happier things and explore the happier side of things to help them be more, you know, fluffy and, you know, optimistic. Yeah, I think writing is a very personal thing. In that way, you know, as writers, we have different things that make us tick. And I think it's important that we remember that about each other. I have to say, like, I'm really impressed with the fact that, you know, you write light, fluffy things and that you were able to write something, you know, this dark and this compelling. And, you know, for me, it was really interesting because, you know, I do tend to be more on the, you know, pessimistic side of the spectrum a lot of times, you know, especially like, you know, when life isn't going well, like I very quickly devolve into a cycle of pessimism and I really have to work to be more optimistic. And, you know, for me, writing helps me sort of get myself out of that negative thought loop. But, you know, also reading horror helps me get out of that negative thought loop, you know, even if it's not, you know, a positive ending, we'll say. You know, a lot of times, you know, horror ends with your protagonist not defeating the monster, but, you know, they still fight anyway. And I think that there's, you know, some hope in that, even if they don't come out on top at that moment, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the end. And there's something that's sort of uplifting about watching someone fight these forces of darkness, whether they exist inside themselves or outside of themselves, and overcoming it in some way, even if they don't necessarily win the war. You know, they win battles and they continue to fight and they don't just, you know, lay down and take it. And I think that that's something that's really beneficial for me to read anyway. And I'm curious, do you read more slice of life type work?
I kind of sometimes. I mean, for a little while I wasn't reading a lot in general. And then recently I like read all of The Witcher and I read what was it, the book that Haunting of Hill House show is based off.
Shirley Jackson's The Haunting of Hill House.
And the book was definitely better. I like that much better.
It's a great book. But, you know, also Shirley Jackson wrote We Have Always Lived in the Castle. That one is a really good one. as well. So if you liked Haunting Hill House, I think you'd probably like that one as well.
All right, I'll add it to the list because I need to read.
All right, the never ending list.
Yeah, because like I wanted to, I guess like I tend to skew like my original stuff could be like young adult or like something a little bit higher than that, I guess. And yeah. Like I ordered a bunch of like books like that, and they all seem kind of like lighthearted.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I'm kind of all over the place because I watch a lot of movies too, so a lot of times like action packed and like sometimes horror. Yeah. It's very everywhere.
Yeah. I always find it interesting the differences between what writers write and what they consume. Like for me, yes, I read a lot of horror, you know, especially you know, with the podcast and, you know, some other things that I have going on, you know, I have to read it for my job now, obviously. But you know, when I read for pleasure, you know, especially the more horror that I read for work, the more lighthearted stuff that I'll read. Like I read a lot of romance, and you know, a lot of people like look at me when they find that out and they're like, what? And they're like, you're so, you know, Wednesday Addams or Morticia Addams. I can't imagine you reading romance. And I'm like, no, like actually I really enjoy reading romance. I enjoy reading like literary fiction as well. I think horror is always, you know, my first love, but I think that there's a need for humans, you know, not just readers and writers, but for humans to find balance in what they consume. And, you know, if you consume too much horror, you know, whether it's movies or books, then, you know, that's not necessarily good for you. You know, it's important, I think, to expand your horizons. So I'm really happy to hear you say that you write, you know, lighthearted stuff. And then, you know, to see this like super dark story, you know, and just as, you know, like for me, having that validation of, you know, yes, like you can occupy both ends of a spectrum and you can do it successfully. You know, obviously you've done that here. But I'm curious, you know, what you think about the difference between what you read versus what you write.
I guess like I always see that people say you should not just reading a lot will help like inform your writing. And I feel like I took that very serious. I heard it when I was like younger. And so now I'm like, if I want to understand this, I feel like I can like when it comes to horror, like I usually didn't consume a lot of horror until recently. And then like getting that into my set of knowledge or whatever, I guess it, like one side will inform the other in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if I can understand rom-coms and like regular comedy, and then I could turn around and look at horror, and then like both could feed into each other to make new stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's the mark of a great writer too, is being able to take, you know, things that are on different ends of a spectrum and, you know, create an amalgamation, I guess, that, you know, is something completely new. I think that, you know, when we get stuck in a rut and, you know, we're only trying to do one thing with our writing, that's when it becomes less compelling. But when you expand your horizons and you're able to incorporate, you know, two very different things into one body of work, I think that's where a lot of success comes for writers, because then you're doing something different. You're doing something new. You know, people don't necessarily want to consume the same things that, you know, they've consumed over and over again. They, you know, they're looking for something new, but they don't necessarily know what it is that they're looking for that's new. It's just, you know, when they read it or hear it or watch it, that's, you know, they know, oh, okay, this is something different. And I think when writers write something that is different from what everything else that's out there, that's when you get recognition and notice. And I think it's important as a writer to try to occupy both ends of the spectrum and what you consume, so that, you know, it can noodle its way into your brain, so to speak, and, you know, come out as something completely different than everything else that's out there in the world. So yeah, like I find it really interesting. I'm still like super interested in the fact that you typically write such lighthearted stuff, just because, like I said, this is so dark that, you know, I never would have guessed that. So I really want to read some of your lighter stuff now. Can you tell us how long you've been writing?
I guess, like, technically since I was, like, in what grade was that? I would say, like, fourth grade.
Yeah?
Because I would play with my toys with my brother and come up with, like, I guess, scenes for them.
Yeah.
So I started writing little comics in fourth grade. And then I was using, like, empty notebooks to write that and, like, fan fiction since then, so...
Awesome. Yeah, I used to do that as a kid too, is, you know, playing, I would play with my sister and, you know, it would be like telling stories. And, you know, I have a son and he does the same thing. You know, he a lot of imaginative play where, you know, he talks about, okay, I'm doing this and then, you know, I'm going to do this. And, you know, he's telling stories in his play. And I wonder how common that is for non writers. You know, obviously, like, I know a lot of writers. And, you know, a lot of the writers that I interview for this podcast talk about telling themselves stories as kids, whether it was through play or if it was bedtime stories. You know, it's a very common thing with writers, but I'm curious to know if non-writers do that as well. So I don't know if anybody is listening right now and you want to tweet at Nightlight Pod and let me know if you're not a writer, you know, did you play that way? Did you tell yourself bedtime stories? I'm wondering if it's something that's, you know, part of the human condition or if it's something that's particular to writers.
Yeah.
So where are you at in your writing career now?
I'm still, like, I work at a daycare, so I don't I don't write, like, mainly. But I'm trying to work on, I'm, like, workshopping a novella. It's probably going to evolve into a novel.
Nice. But,
I have, like, a plethora of characters, and I don't know why, but I'm, like, obsessed with, like, not so, like, demon types, like, they're not necessarily succubi or whatever.
Yeah.
But the novella is, like, about a demon who was, like, interested in pretending to be human, and, like, she gets married and has a kid, but then, like, it becomes, like, a turf war in her cul-de-sac with another demon.
Oh.
And I have to, like, expand on it.
That sounds pretty cool. Like, I want to read that too. You know, do you typically write short stories, and this is, like, your first foray into long fiction, or how's, well, that worked for you?
It's weird because, like, I was writing a novel when I was, like, 16. Like, I started working on it.
Yeah.
And then I even used it in college for, like, workshops and stuff, but I haven't touched it in a while. I have, like, 12 chapters. But then, so I usually do try to work long form, but I feel like sometimes I fall off. So I started trying to just do shorter stories. So, like, I have things I could send places.
Yeah.
And so now I have, like, I guess, like, a Bicky universe of my characters. And I'm like, oh, maybe if they're cousins or and their ancestors here, so that I could have, like, a network of short stories together.
Yeah. And for those who are listening, Victoria's nickname is actually Bicky. So when she said Bicky universe, she's talking about herself, so that you're not completely lost right now.
Yeah.
So how long have you been submitting short stories?
I guess for, like, the last, like, 2 or 3 years, I was trying to get out there.
Yeah. Do you have anything else out that we can read right now?
I don't think I have anything, like, posted. I did want to share I guess, like, a companion short story to this that I
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about it.
Oh, I only wrote one part of it so far, but it's about, it's hard to say. She's, like, a zombie, but she gets hired by, like, this undead committee that takes care of cryptids that start going wild.
Nice.
And it's set in New Jersey. That's where I live. And it's because I was, like, the Jersey Devil and, like, Bigfoot kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
And our main character, of course I don't remember her name because I haven't been writing. But she, like, passes on in a car crash and inducted into this group, and they're like, you can work for us and not necessarily have to die right away. So it's very cool. It's kind of macabre because it's, like, a mashup of things, and she's, like, falling apart if she doesn't do her job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's wacky.
And so you're in the process of writing this right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, first...
hurry up and get that done so that we can read it. We want to read it.
I think about it every day.
You know what? I'm the same way. Like, I will go weeks without writing anything, and I feel terrible that I'm not writing anything. But, you know, it's just like life gets in the way sometimes. And you know, honestly, like, I let it get in the way. You know, if I really wanted to write, I would make time to write. But, you know, it's very easy as a writer to let life consume you in other ways and to not get any writing done. And, you know, the number of times people have been like, oh, well, you need to finish that, or, you know, you need to write this or write that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. And I don't, you know, it's really hard as a writer to have discipline, I think. But I'm curious to know, like, you know, outside of that story, are you pretty disciplined with your writing, or is it something that you have a difficult time making happen?
It's hard to say, because, like, it'll be like, oh, I'm so slumped with, like, having to work during the pandemic, and then, like, I'll get home and have all this time, because I used to work retail where I wouldn't have a night to myself.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I get home and I'm like, I just want to play video games.
Right. Well, I mean, working with kids is hard. I used to work at a daycare. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
So exhausting. So I don't blame you for wanting to come home and play video games.
Yeah, because it's like, you gotta change the diapers and cleaning all the time.
Yeah. And I mean, are you taking care of any kids that are talking yet?
No. Some of them, they start talking before they move on to the next room, basically.
Yeah.
I get the 1-year-olds and...
Yeah, it's a different kind of hard. I think it's more like physically difficult to take care of like infants and babies. But, you know, when they start talking, it's more like mentally difficult because you're having to like listen to them. And, you know, they're not great at talking yet.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, you have to focus a little bit more. And then sometimes you just don't have any clue what they're saying, you know, and you have to have this conversation with this person who is not good at conversations, you know, so you've got to, you know, hold up your end of the conversation and their end of the conversation, you know. At least for me, working at a daycare was one of the most exhausting jobs that I've ever had. Teaching was the first. What video games do you play?
Mostly I've recently just, me and my friend, we stopped playing like Overwatch and moved to Apex Legends.
Oh yeah, I've been wanting to start to play Apex Legends. I play Fortnite and Call of Duty. And I've been wanting to, you know, move into playing Apex, but my son plays Fortnite and Call of Duty. So usually when I'm playing, you know, I'm playing with him. And he doesn't play Apex. So I haven't had a chance to get into it. But do you like Apex?
Oh, yeah. I love it. It's like, it's similar to Overwatch because there's like different legends you can pick.
Yeah.
But it's more like Fortnite. Like it's a battle royale thing. But it's
That's pretty cool. Okay. I'm definitely going to have to like... make that a priority, but maybe make it a priority after my writing.
Yeah, it's mind sync where you get too sucked in. It's
like, yeah. Oh, see, that's my problem is I love video games so much that they do. Like I start playing them and then I have a really hard time not playing them. Like I played World of Warcraft for a long time, and I got pregnant, and then of course, you know, I had my baby, and there was one day I was a healer. There was one day I was sitting there and we were doing a raid and I was healing my party and I was nursing my son at the same time. And I thought, oh my God, like, what am I doing right now? I felt like such a bad mother. You know, I mean, he was fed, you know, don't get me wrong. He was fed, but you know, I was also like playing a game at the same time instead of, you know, focusing on my son. And I was like, you know, maybe I should quit World of Warcraft, you know, until he gets a little bit older and, you know, more self-sufficient. You know, I don't want to miss this time, you know, because so much happens when, you know, kids are really little, when they're babies and, you know, they're learning to walk and talk. You know, you don't want to miss those moments because you're playing a video game kind of thing. So I stopped playing it and I really want to start playing it again. But I'm so scared that if I start playing WoW again, it's like I'm just not going to get anything done. Like I'm not going to get any writing done, but I'm going to be really great at World of Warcraft. So tell me, what is your favorite work of Black horror?
I guess the first thing that came to mind was Ganja and Hess.
Oh God, that is such a great movie. Such a great movie. I think that's an excellent choice. Excellent choice. Why is that your favorite?
I like vampires. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I was trying to like broaden my horizons because like it's so easy to like get swept up in like mainstream stuff and never see anything with black and brown people in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let me go with these suggestions I'm seeing from like the Black Heart people that I follow. And so I watched that and I really liked it. It's really long, but like I like when there's that sort of like contemplative element in a story.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of like, I mean, there's moments of action and like drama or whatever, but it's right. just interesting like how it went about it, like the subject. Yeah,
it's a great movie. It was on Shudder for a while. I don't know if it's still on Shudder or where you can watch it now, but hopefully if it's not on Shudder, it will be again. I know that they had a big Black Horror thing, you know, back in like June, July, August, with everything that was going on, and they were featuring a lot of Black horror films, Blaxploitation films. But yeah, I don't know if they're still on there or not, but I don't know, check it out, see if they are. If you haven't watched Ganja and Hess, you should definitely watch it. So Victoria, tell us, how can we support you as a writer? Where can we find you online? Where can we follow you? Is there anything of yours that we can buy, etc.?
I don't have anything to sell to anybody. I do have
yet.
Yeah, true, honestly. I do have a Patreon, but I haven't been using it, so I have to like relaunch it. And I also have a blog, bunnymintblog.com.
Okay.
There's two T's in mint.
All right. We'll put a link to that in the show notes.
And I just wanted to have a spot to put where my like thoughts on TV and film,
because
I usually on my Twitter, which is also Bunny Mint with two T's, on Twitter I always do like these threads when I watch something. Well, not always, but, like usually. So it turned into this big thing, and like at one point I was like talking to my friends and mutuals. I was like, does that annoy you guys when I do that? Because like I don't want to take over the timeline. And like several people always like, no, I love that. I love
it. Yeah, it's really cool to like follow along with somebody as they're watching something and like hear what their thoughts are.
Yeah.
On it. So I love those kind of threads.
That's all I have really, because like the blog has a link to my website, and unfortunately I don't remember the URL. But they're like connected to each other.
Okay.
And then I do have a YouTube, but I haven't posted anything polished. I did a video about the Joker movie.
Oh, cool.
I'm like in the dark, so it's kind of crazy. But I wanted to do another one about superhero films, or more specifically, the whole like DC versus Marvel thing.
Yeah, that would be really cool. You should absolutely do that. What's your YouTube channel for people that want to follow you?
Dang, I don't remember. I think it's also Bunny Mint with two T's. All right.
Well, if you find that it's not, let me know, and we'll just update that in the show notes. So everybody go follow Victoria on Twitter at Bunnymint with two T's. There will be a link to that in the show notes. Also follow her blog, which will be in the show notes as well. Is there anything else that we can do to support you, Victoria?
I think that's it. Like, that's all I have for that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. It was wonderful talking to you.
Oh, this is nice talking.
And thank you for submitting your story to the podcast. You know, without you submitting stories and writers like you submitting your stories, I wouldn't have a podcast. So thanks for doing that.
Yep, no problem.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new story.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.